yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here? Letting the days go by.
We have, this is a room chock full of incredible, talented people, like some of the guys standing right in front of me, right? Big, big futures, big, fat, beautiful futures. Oh, I'd love to be your age. I'd pay you a lot of money to be your age.
What? Stop talking. But you keep winning. And as I have said many times, I will say again, every time the subject comes up, track record amazing. Speech record horrifying. I mean, could never vote for the guy who talks. I could absolutely vote for the guy who does. And yet, and also understand that there are a lot of other people in my party of my values who love the doing and the talking both. And I'm eternally befuddled by it. 437-1620, Trump has huge wins yesterday in all but Vermont. Vermont and D.C., Nikki Haley is surging. Oh, wait, she's dropping out. Yeah, well, that's what we said, right? Yesterday, we predicted she would drop out. How long would it take? Until today. Because with the Supreme Court ruling that Trump could not be disqualified from the ballot by any state actor, states could not kick him off the ballot, and with the decisive wins in Super Tuesday, which were completely expectable, you know, between, what, 60 and 20 points, generally? I mean, it's huge wins in some of these states. It's over. You know, it's the end of Ferris Bueller. Go home. It's done. Okay? And, you know, so there we are. We're, you know, and she doesn't give a speech last night. Biden doesn't give a speech last night. Biden hides out. And, well, he's probably asleep. You know, hey, give this comment later whenever y'all feel like it. Who wrote it? Well, I don't care. Doesn't matter. You know. So instead, Trump goes on and talks. How long did he talk last night? Maybe like 20 minutes, something like that. And says all the things that he says, right? He says that we're a third world country.
And now we have a very divided country. We have a country that a political person uses weaponization against his political opponent. Never happened here. It happens in other countries, but they're third world countries. And in some ways, we're a third world country. We're a third world country at our borders, and we're a third world country at our elections.
He goes on.
And we have to stop that. We need a fair and free press. The press has not been fair, nor has it been free, but maybe someday they will be. They're being beaten up pretty badly. People aren't trusting them. They're not believing them. And really, it's a very important factor. The press used to be the policeman. It used to police our country. Now nobody has confidence in them, and we have to get that confidence back. It's so important for the success of our country. So important.
So this is a bit of a chicken and egg problem. I agree with him. You know, media has a bad reputation. A lot of people don't trust media. And so his comments about biased media were to some degree fair, but he made the problem worse by always saying fake news is everything I disagree with and the lying press and the only things that are true are things that are pro him. That's also false. Donald Trump is the greatest purveyor of fake news, even while he has reason to complain about the fake news, right? Both are true. And it's a little bit, you know, I never really thought about this until just now, never made this connection. Media serves a tremendous value, right? Actual media, there's actual fact-checking that is susceptible to actually being litigated against if they defame people, you know, real news, okay? But that has, like many other things, been captured by the left over the years. There are reasons. It's not some nefarious plot necessarily, but there are reasons. And some having to do with, you know, human psychology and the condition of people. But, okay, that's just true. You know, if you go into any journalism broadcast school and survey, very few conservatives, right? That's a problem, okay, for unbiased media, especially in a divided country like we live in today. But this is what's also true. If you continually promote the idea that you can't trust the media, you can't trust the media is horrible and terrible and awful, you create the problem that you're trying to complain about. You make it so people don't trust the media. Much like, and I know this is going to drive some of you crazy, this comparison. Again, it just came to my mind a moment ago. But do police ever do anything wrong? Of course they do. Have police done things wrong? Have they done horrible, violent, illegal, and or racist things? Yes. Yes. Is that the norm? No, it's not the norm. Do cases that become massive events in our society, like Ferguson, are they sometimes based on where the police didn't actually do something wrong? Darren Wilson wasn't wrong. Mike Brown was wrong. Okay? Does that matter? No. But what happened? The reputation of all police became horrible. And the continuous saying that police are terrible and horrible and racist and you got to defund them has led to a crisis in law enforcement in our country. Where people, law enforcement is fleeing states that don't support and affirm them and is coming to places like Florida, where we do. Now, does that mean that cops don't ever do anything? No, they do things wrong. Should we call it out? Yes, absolutely. But does that mean that law enforcement in general is corrupt and horrible? No. Same for media. I read normal news sources all day long because most of them are very good. I'll say it again. Most of your traditional news outlets are very good most all of the time. You have to be aware of bias. You have to look for it, and you have to question things that deserve questioning. But Donald Trump's continued assertion that the media is corrupt and horrible and biased and against him and against truth is false. But he has created a perception of media that is very similar to the perception of the police created by Black Lives Matter protesters and people who at least sometimes have good reason for their complaints, but exaggerate it and make it so that you, in the end, don't have confidence in law enforcement, which is a fundamental problem for our society. Back to his speech in just a moment. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
Well, this traffic report is brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. If you're in Pensacola and you use Bellevue Avenue as a shortcut from Blue Angel over to Mobile, you might want to go ahead and stay on Blue Angel, or if you're on the southbound side of that, you might want to use Softly Field Road. We do have an accident on Bellevue Avenue right around Cotton Road. That's between a Mobile Highway and North Blue Angel there, so you might want to avoid that area. The road is blocked currently at the moment. Otherwise, around town, not really seeing any major problems. Highway 98 eastbound getting through Navarre once you pass the Causeway, seeing our normal morning slowdown there. But otherwise, I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. If you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90, not seeing anything slowing you down. And Highway 29 south through Cantonment is clear. If you see anything out there on our roadways, let us know. You can call or text 437-1620. But when it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. I am Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to President Trump's comments last night, former President Trump's comments last night after winning decisively in all but Vermont of the Super Tuesday states.
We were getting along with everybody. We were getting along and we were respected by everybody. We had no wars. Remember when I had the debate with Hillary Clinton? She said, look at him. Look at that personality. He's going to cause wars. I said, no, my personality is going to keep us out of wars. And that's what happened.
I think that's a fair claim. His unpredictability, his ability to bluff and leverage and threaten and be, you know, him did. I agree with him when he says that Ukraine wouldn't have gotten invaded under him, and that, you know, Iran would have been broke and Hamas wouldn't have had money and wouldn't have certainly had the boldness to invade Iran. All of that, I agree. And give credit where the credit is due, and I do give credit where the credit is due. Foreign policy stuff, yeah. You know, and by the way, doing what he said he would do. Again, what drives me crazy with Trump is when he talks. What doesn't drive me crazy is what he does, because what he does is pretty amazing. You know, building a border wall, solving the economy, even his response to COVID, I thought was incredible. Support for Israel, moving the embassy, following through on his promises. That's the thing that he did that's crazy, is he said he'd do stuff and then he did the stuff. Again, if he would just stop the talking, that would be so much. But again, I have to be honest. There's an awful lot of people, many of you, love the talking. I don't understand. I just don't understand it. But there it is. People do love it, you know?
And we got a lot of credit for the economy, a lot of credit for our foreign policy. I think credit like nobody, very few people have gotten. And the press was very honest about it. They give us very high marks on foreign policy, the Abraham Accords, so many different things we did. But we never got the kind of due that we should have for the COVID, or as I call it affectionately, the Chinese virus, the China virus. which is a much more accurate term.
And then this last one, only because it epitomizes the... He likes to complain about fake media that you can't trust, and then he says things that are so completely outrageous. They have no tether to facts. But then, again, this is the thing that people have always said about Trump, is that the left takes him literally and doesn't take him seriously, and the right takes him seriously but doesn't take him literally. I've always been raised that words matter and what you say matters, and yet the rules about him are... they're asking us to make fundamentally different rules for him, rules for a person of one.
We rebuilt our military. And what happened, we rebuilt our entire military, and beautiful. We had jet fighters that were 53 years old, and we had all brand new jet fighters. And
good Lord. Oh, yeah, we built some new ones, okay? And we built some new ships. How's those littoral combat ships working out for us? And we built a new carrier. How's that working out for us? Or we have ancient aircraft carriers and B-52s and F-18s and F-15s, and no, we don't have all brand new shiny planes because President Trump was in office for 4 years. That's an absurd thing to say. Did he fund the military? Yes. Did he help rebuild it? Sure. But that's the kind of stuff, like I say, that it just, as somebody who is supposed to care about words and truth and facts and evidence, you know, the reason the media can't stand Trump isn't just because they're all lefties. Part of the reason the media can't stand truth is because he represents a way of talking and depicting reality that is absolutely incompatible with what we believe in. Right, left, or center. 4-3-7-16-20, and yet, the policies were good. And if he didn't talk this way, would he have the support he has? I don't know. Somebody texts in and says, Trump is spot on about the media. You lean that way also. Okay. All right. I'm left-leaning. You caught me. You caught me. Somebody else says, Trump is entertaining. The masses want to be entertained. That's horrifying, because if you read your history and your philosophers, you know what happens with the entertaining strong person who comes into power. That's a really, really bad place for any civilization to be. Somebody else says, I beg to differ with you. Have you watched the 5:30 p.m. evening news with David Muir? They hate Donald Trump, and it shows. This morning was about 30 seconds of coverage of Super Tuesday and other people who can't stand Trump. Again, do they hate Trump because they're leftists, or they hate Trump because of what he represents as the carnival barker version of a leader? I mean, there are other reasons to dislike Trump besides you happen to have biases. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Lasting strength for life is found in deep and sincere study of the Word of God. Specifically, if you're seeking strength for life, I challenge you to study the Gospel of John. The book's thesis explains that it has two main objectives. First, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And second, that believing ye might have life through his name. The 21 chapters set out to prove that Jesus was the Christ that the Old Testament prophesied about. And secondly, the Gospel of John offers eternal life in heaven through Jesus. Lasting strength for life starts and ends with belief in Jesus. So take time to read the Gospel according to John. You may be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Easter, Angelina's Supper Club, jazz at Jackson's, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up! and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials, and everyone's favorite Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. See you at David's.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You threaten me?
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. How do things look this Wednesday morning, Jake?
All right, looking pretty good out there on our roadways. If you are in the Bellevue area, if you use Bellevue Avenue at all, we do have an accident near Mobile Highway headed eastbound on Bellevue. That's got some road blockage there, so you might want to avoid that intersection. And Highway 98 eastbound, getting through Navarre, once you pass the Beach Causeway, stretching there from the causeway all the way up to almost Publix and Windhaven, seeing our normal morning slowdown there. But otherwise around town, we're looking great. If you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90 through Pace, don't see anything slowing you down there. Highway 29 is clear from the Atmore cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free on the west side. And looks like Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you do see anything out there slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
You know, it just occurred to me something that we cannot really do practically, but it would be fun if we could figure out a way to do it. Highway 90, 6 days accident-free. You know, something like that. Like, it's been clear for a week or two or whatever. I mean, in the afternoons, mornings, just can't really do it. But that's what it got me thinking about is when you're saying it's all clear. I'm like, well, how many days has it been clear? We can celebrate the victory. 727 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A new bipartisan bill has been introduced in the House that would ban TikTok in the U.S. The bill would force TikTok to either separate from its Chinese-owned parent company, ByteDance, or be banned here in the U.S. The bill gives ByteDance 5 months to divest TikTok before it would go into effect. The federal government says free COVID-19 tests and Pfizer Paxlovid antiviral medication are now ending. The USPS distribution set to end on Friday, March 8th. They say this is because the virus has slowed down considerably. And it looks like the Twilight franchise could be expanding. Variety reports an animated series is now being shopped around by Lionsgate Television. That news was revealed by during a media conference Tuesday by Vice Chairman of Lionsgate, Michael Burns, who says there is a lot of interest in the series.
Interesting. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I appreciate that. Somebody texts me and says, 437-1620, I agree with your Trump characterization, but ultimately you have to vote for outcomes, not rhetoric, which I agreed. At the same time, you know, for all of my life, most of my life, I have always said things like, you know, character, honesty, truth, decency, Christian virtues, you know, humility, grace. Those are things that you have to pick when you have the option. Of course, by the way, you know, as a comparison too, right, what's the current president offering? Oh, and by the way, I said this earlier, I'll say it again. I think that having Biden stay in the basement or the bedroom or asleep or wherever he was last night was smart. Because there's nothing for me to work with this morning. There's nothing for me to make fun of. He put out this super bland, stupid statement, and there's nothing to say. Right? Meanwhile, Trump goes on stage and talks for 20 minutes. And there's all kinds of material. And, you know, people like me or others who want to criticize him have something to work with. So if you can get Biden to just shut up and not do any press, he can hide in his basement again. And that's probably good for him because, you know, showing the product is not good for the product, right? Everybody knows that. 437-1620, 437-1620. Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we typically do on a Wednesday. Malcolm Young Jim, the ongoing saga there. Economic development, the Baptist Project, some interesting stuff. And the camping regulation that the state is putting out and you know what that might do for us here in Pensacola. We're talking about all of that coming up right after David Wayne with his local news after Fox.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Donald Trump has no one in the way now of another Republican presidential nomination. Nikki Haley will announce this morning she's suspending her campaign. Fox's Bill Malugin at Haley campaign headquarters in Charleston, South Carolina.
She's going to be delivering remarks here in the Charleston area around 10 a.m. We are told she is not going to endorse Donald Trump. She is instead going to call for him to earn the support of both Republicans and independents who are not supporting him right now. She is also expected to say that she gave voters in the Republican primary a serious choice and helped move along the conversation in what is a fractured party right now.
The withdrawal comes after Donald Trump wins every state but Vermont on Super Tuesday. President Biden wins every Democratic Party contest except for caucuses in American Samoa, losing 51 votes to 40 to a businessman named Jason Palmer, who says he's never even been to American Samoa. This is a Fox News alert.
Good morning. 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Another cloudy morning. Right now, 62 degrees across the area. I'm David Wayne. A six-year-old girl has died after being hit by a car yesterday. This happened near the Hitzman Park parking lot on Langley Avenue. Pensacola police say it happened just before 5:30 on Tuesday. The girl was taken to Ascension Sacred Heart, where she was pronounced dead. Police have not released any information on how that accident happened. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says a murder from 1998 has now been solved thanks to improving technology and the ongoing work of investigators through their annual cold case symposiums. Yesterday, the sheriff announced that 44-year-old Donald Holmes is being charged with the murder of Stephen Davis. He was shot in the Winn-Dixie parking lot on Navy Boulevard back in August of 1998. Simmons says at the time, investigators had a fingerprint with Davis's blood, but they couldn't process it.
We knew that the blood was the victim's blood. We knew the blood was Stephen's blood, but we couldn't get the detail that we needed from this particular fingerprint. But we tried. We tried not once, not twice. We tried three different times, but we weren't able to get, based on technology that was available to us, we weren't able to get the detail that we needed.
Simmons says Holmes is currently serving a sentence in the Florida State Prison for a home invasion robbery in 2012. He'll be brought back to Escambia County to face the murder charge. A search is now underway to find three missing kids in Pinellas County. FDLE issuing a missing child alert yesterday for the Spears children out of Largo. Six-year-old Benjamin, one-year-old Hannah, six-month-old Noah were last seen 1 week ago. Authorities believe the kids are with their parents, 32-year-old Tyler and 28-year-old Natalie Spears. Largo police there say the family went to DCF for a mandatory meeting but fled after they found out the parents could lose custody of the children. Jewish day schools in Florida should soon be able to count on some additional state money to help cover their security costs.
Since the October 7th Hamas terrorist attack on Israel, the Jewish community institutions nationwide have reported an increase of 290% related incidents since last year. This includes several Florida Jewish day schools who have received swatting emails and phone calls.
The full Florida Senate unanimously passed Joe Gruder's bill, which would allow lawmakers to keep replenishing the money whenever needed. The bill has cleared the House. It's now on its way to the governor's desk. Gruder says over the last 5 years, enrollment at Jewish day schools has gone up 50%, and at the same time, security costs have also gone up nearly 50%. Well, funeral arrangements have been announced for the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Sergeant James Conkle. He died last Thursday at the age of 46 after an illness visitation beginning at 11 o'clock Saturday morning at Pace Assembly of God. That'll be followed by a 12 p.m. service. Following that service, there will be a law enforcement escort traveling to the Baghdad Millside Park for final honors. Residents are advised to expect delays as that escort moves throughout the area. It is 7:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
All right. If you're in the Bellevue area this morning on Bellevue Avenue, we do have an accident with roadblock. This is going to be headed eastbound toward Mobile Highway. Also, 98 eastbound through Navarre. Once you get past the causeway, stretching all the way into Wind Haven, we're seeing our normal morning slowdown there, as well as Highway 98 westbound getting through Tiger Point. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, actually one just popped up as I refresh my map. This is going to be Palafox, North Palafox Street at East Fairfield. We do have a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock there. That probably just happened. Crews may be on the scene by now, but avoid that area if you can. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let me know. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Going to be a beautiful, sunny, and warm day today. Temperatures warming up near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. For Thursday, sunshine continues with a high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Rain chances to build in for Friday night with a 70% chance of rain and a high near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 62 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, also 62 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. 3 weeks after opposition stopped Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana from selling itself to Elevance Health for $2.5 billion, two state lawmakers are proposing new safeguard rules. Legislation filed would tighten regulations around the reorganization of a nonprofit or member-owned health insurer like Blue Cross. If passed, the legislation would require more transparency and outside financial analysis of any proposed deal that would ensure members would benefit from a sale. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell heads to Capitol Hill today to provide more clarity about how the central bank plans on proceeding with monetary policy this year. In recent weeks, Powell has expressed satisfaction with the trend in prices, but has expressed concern over the 3.1 annual inflation rate, which is well above the Fed's 2% target. Futures slightly rise as investors await Powell's testimony. That's your money now.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Throughout our history,
I believe the time has come to bring that investigation and the other investigations of this matter to an end. 1 year of Watergate is enough.
Presidents have delivered the annual State of the Union address.
And I must say to you that the State of the Union is not good.
President Biden will give his third State of the Union address. Hear it live tomorrow at 8 p.m. along with the Republican rebuttal by Alabama Senator Katie Britt on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
So per each hotspot, we're making generic recommendations on the types of adaptation strategies that you could pursue. A lot of this revolves around enhancing drainage and conveyance and storage capabilities, looking also at seawalls and shoreline projects, adjusting your tailwater condition and managing and designing your stormwater system to accept the fact that you're going to have sea level rise that's going to reduce downstream capacity for drainage overall.
Very interesting presentation given to the Pensacola City Council agenda review session on Monday from Aaron Dady, one of the consultants who conducted the vulnerability assessment for stormwater management and water management in general in the face of rising sea levels. And you heard her there talk about all kinds of things like, how do you get the water where it needs to go? Conveyances. How do you store the water until it can get where it needs to go? Retention ponds. And then how do you think about water outfalls into a rising water level? Because you can no longer assume that you're going to be able to store it there if it can't get to there. And then, of course, we have all these areas that flood that might not normally flood, but might flood because they can't get out. All of that stuff. Look at that. It's a very interesting presentation. I'm still you know, torn on how much I really believe that, for example, sea level rise is, you know, A, happening, to what degree is it happening, how much of a threat it is. But given a lot of the weird weather that we've seen and obviously the ongoing problems with stormwater mitigation in the city of Pensacola and in our two-county area, I just thought it was an interesting assessment. Joining us now, D.C. Reeves, who is in Destin for the FPL conference. D.C., welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. So just kind of I wanted to get, you know, you guys didn't really respond much. I mean, it was her presentation, and then there was about 3 minutes of, yeah, everything goes, let's go to the meeting. But your thoughts on what she was saying in terms of, you know, what the city should be doing for improving its stormwater facilitation and solutions and, you know, resiliency?
Yeah, you know, I think we all as citizens would agree that we can do better in stormwater for our city just because of friends we know, neighbors we know, that when we have a big rain event, it affects them, and disproportionately so. And so this study is not only gives us the information to really reinforce that in a data-based way, but it also equips us, most importantly, I believe it equips us to go address those issues, be it with grants, with other opportunities, that we're not just saying, hey, we need a grant for more stormwater because we promised that we've got a stormwater issue.
Right.
It's that now people can see it in black and white, or I guess in a better case, in red, yellow, green, and blue, those maps that are pretty alarming in some of those instances that she showed. So Cynthia Cannon and our planning office has really taken this up. This has been a year-long process to have this, to one, understand what's in front of us, but two, to have some opportunities. And you may remember from budget time, one of the things that we have to address is the stormwater assessment in the city. We have to. We right now, it should be about $120 to $140 just to keep to maintain what we have in the city. And it's at $80 on average right now. And so we can keep doing that if we want. It just, we won't be able to clean out our stormwater ponds,
right,
and we won't be able to address what's directly in front of us. So it's nice to have something that gives us real black and white data of exactly what the issues that we have and what our biggest issues are as well.
And I thought it was also, I mean, a good note, again, if you take for granted the premise, okay, which I don't, but if you do, that sea levels are getting higher, that puts us in a different problem when it comes to storm surge. And she mentioned this, that, you know, 3 feet of storm surge against a 1 foot average below grade water level versus a 2 foot or a 3 foot or a 0 foot, those are fundamentally different things. And so areas that were not vulnerable before become vulnerable because when the water is higher, the surge affects it fundamentally in a different way, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also it gets detailed enough to give us priority areas too. It's not just, hey, here's this dilemma that's coming for the city as a whole.
Right.
It's kind of, hey, all right, if you are going to address these areas, and again, me and you have talked many times about we're addressing one in a big way with Hollis T. Williams and all the $30 million of stormwater infrastructure we're going to be able to put there.
Right.
But it's kind of nice to have that roadmap too, you know, to say, all right, well, if we do run ourselves into a $5 million, a $10 million grant, where would we want to put it? And it just equips us, again, moving forward to try to address the biggest priorities that we have.
I wanted to ask you about this public camping law that the state is working on that looks like it's on the verge of passing. The Senate just passed it. And I would expect the governor to sign. I think the House has passed it also, if I remember correctly. And the short version of it is, it seems like they're kind of trying to do what we did with the under I-110 encampment. The idea is the city is going to be required to move people off of private and public property if they are camping there, and then create a place where they are offering to them to be, where you can bring services and security and water and toilets and things like that. That place would not be able to be in any one place more than 1 year, but I don't know. I haven't been following this all that closely, but it seems generally like an okay thing if it's going to reduce random camping around all the places. But your thoughts, I assume you've been paying a little more attention to it.
Yeah, and you know, it's relatively, I mean, new-ish in terms of, you know, state news coming through. So,
right.
So I don't have full understanding of both chapter and verse on every part of it, but what I guess I'll answer it this way. What would I be looking at? What I'd be looking at is, what does the city's obligation become? And as you can imagine, like many things in Florida, they're often written for cities much larger than us,
right?
In terms of needs much larger than us, and also have infrastructure and manpower much larger than us. And so that's what I'm always looking at with any legislation in Tallahassee, is how does it affect the 55,000 here and our ability to do our job? And so Again, I'd have to look into all the details and say, you know, is that good? Is that not good? I certainly understand the frustration of folks being able to camp on public property. I can certainly sympathize with that. But what we'll have to do in replace of that is what I'm going to be paying close attention to. So, you know, at the end of the day, these are our public spaces that we share together, and they were not built nor constructed nor intended for anyone to be able to camp there in perpetuity. That's not what they're designed for. But you know, so again, that's what I'll really be paying close attention to is what
comes out.
City of Pensacola's obligation become if this were to pass.
And by the way, that's how I read the ordinance too. Is that Senator Martin and the rest of the senator basically saying, look, you can't camp on streets; they weren't built for that. You can't camp on sidewalks; they weren't built for that. You can't camp in parks, and you can't camp in trails because they were not built for that. But we can't keep saying that if we don't have something that actually is built for that, and if we don't have shelter space, let's create an outdoor area where they can do the camping on a space that's designated for that purpose, so that we can't just say no, no, no here and here, but we can actually say yes to somewhere else. And as you say, I agree. Let's see what the final product winds up being. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mayor, hang on for just a second. Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right, just a couple things to tell you about this morning. East Fairfield and Palafox. Fairfield was already down to one lane this week for some road work, but we also have an accident that just occurred right at that intersection. So if you're on Fairfield headed towards Palafox this morning, see if you can find a work around that. Also, on the exit from 110 south to Cervantes, we do have a disabled vehicle there causing a little bit of slowdown. Other than that, we're looking great around town. If you see anything else, let us know. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You guys did something recently that I really like. You and I have talked before about this project in New Orleans that is kind of amazing, that is being used as maybe a pattern for developing the Baptist property, maybe on a smaller scale could be used for developing even the Malcolm Young property. I was kind of curious, and the mix of incomes in this project, I love all of that. Who went? I don't even know. Did anybody from city council go with you?
Yes, we had Councilman Wiggins and Councilman Broughton were there.
Oh, great.
As well as we had a great group.
It's like 40 people, right?
We got on the bus. It is that, hey, you know, to have 40 people, give or take, either ride over and, you know, to give a day, ultimately, to their community, you know, regardless of what happens, whether this is what happens at Baptist, whether we take the property or not, there's lots of what ifs, of course,
right,
this early in the game. But to have 40 people across all different parts and aspects of our community to be there and to give a day of their life to come see what right may look like for us, I think was really amazing. And so, you know, what was really cool too is that I've been over there before. I've met with the Bayou District folks a couple of times, and that this is why you do something like that. There are questions that I haven't asked, you know, that someone from a different perspective, whether it be where they grew up, how they grew up, or what they're doing now in their career, in their passion in life. They ask questions that we may not have asked, you know, and that's exactly why you engage folks like that, is to say, hey, you know, you lend us your brain power and your expertise about, you know, what this could be and what concerns you may have.
Right.
And so I think it was really valuable in that sense.
And you know, you mentioned yesterday in the press conference, having such a diversity of viewpoint and experience and endeavor really is going to make sure that you bring all of the right elements of out of the presentation or out of the people who are available to answer those questions. So I totally agree with you on that way of approaching it. We always like to tomorrow night's city council meeting is going to be 8 minutes long. Well, I mean, other than public forum, which God only knows, you never know what's going to happen with public forum. Not a whole lot on the agenda tomorrow night, but, you know, as the agenda review showed, being, you know, other than the presentation, I think it was about 6 minutes long altogether. So I always like to end with a lightning round, something fun, fast, whatever. First question, is there, this week was, I think Monday, was National Snack Day. D.C. Reeves is snackety hungry in the afternoon. What is his go-to snack?
Unfortunately, a lot of times it's prioritizing whatever's available, which is not the best health habits. Don't do that, kids. But I would say
maybe ask it a different way. What little bag of food, when you see it available to you, like at a buffet or a party or a whatever, what's the one that gets you the most excited? You're like, oh, give me that. I got to have it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say some kind of chips. I mean, they're just, it's easy, it's quick. You know, I like Doritos, I like Lay's, I like. But I thought I was going to give you sour candy. I mean, that's my go-to.
Okay, all right, I got you. Fair enough. When you are texting, you're younger, you know, you're younger. When you are texting, what level of grammar and punctuation do you engage in? Do you capitalize first letters? Do you use periods? Do you use commas?
This is a great question. I'm glad anybody who gets a text from me now can sympathize. Not much, which is unfortunate. I was a journalist, and it's embarrassing to say. It's like no punctuation really at all. And it's usually because I'm moving fast, you know, and just wanting to fire.
Yep.
But I could see the recipient being upset with me about, you know, being terse, which I really am not. I'm just trying to get it knocked out. You know? Very transactional.
One space or two after a sentence for you?
Absolutely one. Actually, two kind of frustrates me. I don't know.
Okay. We'll try to keep working on a relationship.
It was someone else. Yeah.
last one for you. Name something that when you were a kid, you thought was going to be a big deal and you were going to have to worry about. And as an adult, turns out not to be that big of a deal. My favorite example of this is like quicksand. You know, I thought there was going to be quicksand everywhere based on TV.
Yeah.
And now it turns out not to be a big thing. So something that from your childhood you were worried about that turns out that's really not that much of a problem.
Quicksand's a great one. Actually, that's a great example. Probably, alligators or sharks, any time I was ever swimming. I think that would be that's my concern. Yeah, I hope that's not how I go now that I've said this on radio. But
we'll play it at the funeral. It'll be fine.
I would say that concern's been mitigated somewhat.
At DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time, and we'll look forward to the meeting tomorrow night and then the interview next week. Thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Appreciate it, Andrew.
You bet. 752 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're in the market for that next vehicle, or you're not sure if you are, and I know sometimes if you're like me, and maybe you're not, I don't know, I can be weird, but I resist getting the next thing for a long time. I really put it off way longer. Like recently I bought a computer, put it off way too long. Cars, I do the same thing. Yet it's kind of philosophically like I'm invested in this thing and I don't want to get just a little bit less of that, so I wait. But the point is you start to dislike your car, like you really are embarrassed about it, or you just don't like it, or it's frustrating and you're always, this thing. Well, if you're in that place in your relationship with your car, break up and go to Frontier Motors. Or, go to Frontier Motors and then break up. I mean, you don't have to do it in that order. But find yourself a good quality used vehicle, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition that you can drive for 100 or 200,000 miles. That's the kind of car that they specialize in at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armand Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armand Advisors is charting a better course.
Join today's Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 o'clock with Corey McKern, the artistic director of the Pensacola Opera, as they prepare to pop the bubbly March 15th and 17th for Strauss's beloved operetta, Die Fledermaus, where an elaborate masquerade ball is alive with concealed identities and nonstop laughs. Tickets start at just $25 at PensacolaOpera.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My advice to you is to start drinking heavily. You better listen to him, Flounder. He's in pre-med.
Good morning. morning, 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Jake has got our traffic on the fives this fine Wednesday morning. Jake?
This traffic report brought to you by Frontier Motors. East Fairfield and Palafox, really, really going to have a tie-up this morning there because Fairfield was already down to one lane for some road work, but we also have an accident that just occurred at that intersection, and it is causing some roadblock right now. Also, on the exit from 110 South to Cervantes, we do have a Cerveza truck broken down, causing a little bit of slowdown getting by there. And as Andrew was saying during the break, no plundering. Leave it alone. It's not your beer.
Well, do we have a brand? Has anybody identified what kind of beer truck it is? Because there are some that I'd be more eager to plunder. I mean, if it's the Goose Island truck, I'm just going right now.
Right.
But if it's the Bud Light truck, I'm like, it's just a truck full of water, so what's the problem?
Yeah, it's like a Coca-Cola machine in the Mirage in the desert, and then you get up, and it's like, it's an RC Cola machine.
That's funny. All right, Jake, thanks so much for the update.
Sorry.
Did you not finish?
Well, Frontier Motors, the only dealership that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola, Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I'm Jake Walker, Traffic on the Fives.
Very good. Hey, if you need heating or air conditioning work done, plumbing, electrical, they do all of that. Peden. They do it right the first time. They stand by their work, 100% satisfaction guarantee, professional, on time, good products, the whole shebang, as my grandfather used to say. You get it all with them. And they have been expanding. You know, so successful here locally. They've been expanding. Not that long ago, they expanded to Baldwin County, now all the way to Mobile County. They've also expanded all the way to Tallahassee. So the whole central time zone is covered by them, obviously right here in Pensacola as well. Like I said, just recently expanded to Mobile County, so you can get service from them if you live over there and come over to Pensacola to work. They're also hiring because of the expansion. Good air conditioning technicians, plumbers, and electricians in all of their markets. And if you are somebody who's good at your job or you know somebody who's good at their job and might be looking for a change, hey, this might be the opportunity for you. Right now, if you purchase a new AC system, you get a free tanked water heater as basically a gift from them, from Peden. So if you want more information, want to schedule an appointment, find out more about the company, Peden, PEADEN.com. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador Nikki Haley, now expected to become a former GOP presidential candidate. She'll be delivering some remarks here at around 9 o'clock this morning. The first birth control pill approved in the U.S. for over-the-counter use will be available later this month. It's called Opill. The contraceptive, studies show, is 98% effective if taken as directed. It'll cost about $20 for a one-month supply. And tonight's Powerball jackpot worth $485 million, $232 million for the cash option. As you know, it's my only hope for retirement, so nobody else buy a ticket. It's all mine.
It'll be all yours. All right, David, thanks so much for that. By the way, Nikki Haley and President Trump saying he wouldn't take her as VP, doesn't like her, calls her bird brain. She's horrible, terrible, no good, and doesn't even like dogs. So how long before she's stumping for him and how long before he offers her a cabinet post?
It's today,
though,
right? Hasn't happened yet?
Yeah, right.
Has it happened already?
It'll be today, though, right?
Breaking. Where's Trump?
He hates them until they're on his side, in which case he loves them, right? Because it's just...
Yeah, I'd say by the end of the day.
All pretend and posturing. All right, David, thanks so much. You really get this. It's all wrestling charade.
All theater.
It's just all theater. All right, 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I told this to you before, but this is kind of an interesting little update. The Florida Senate has now is now supporting the limits to book objections, right? You know, let one person challenge 100 books. That's ridiculous. They're now putting limits on people who don't have kids in school and there's supposed to be you pay $100 or something like that. You're only allowed to do one per month. Good. It's reasonable because people have abused this process. You know, there does need to be a cost of some kind. It doesn't have to be an actual cost. There needs to be some kind of a limit involved. Otherwise, you get this overwhelmed situation where you got a 150-book backlog that nobody can possibly process in time, like in Escambia County.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.